podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Morning. Great to be back. We're now in a very interesting part of Genesis. Genesis chapter 21, verse 1. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. This word visited is the word pagad, the Hebrew word that talks about God visits. It is a moment in time, it's a space in time where God breaks into people's lives. God, in certain junctions of history, comes into our lives individually and collectively and meets us. In fact, if you want to understand this idea of visitation, we've been reading this throughout the book of Genesis. We saw it in the life of Noah. God visited Noah, in one sense, guided Noah, led Noah, instructed Noah, but at the same time, he visited the earth and purified the earth. The visitation of God is not always a positive one, but at the end of the day, he comes. And because he comes, he's doing something. We saw him visit the Tower of Babel and confuse the people there. We saw him visit Abraham and Sarah, and we saw him visit Lot and Sodom. We've seen him throughout the entire Bible where he visits Joseph and Mary and all sorts of people, even Job. The visitation of God is something that is part and parcel of our lives, something we should expect. In fact, the greatest visit of all was the visit of Jesus. Because Jesus did not just visit once and left like most visitors do, but he visited and stayed. Stayed in our hearts, in our lives, for the rest of all eternity. That's the interesting part about the visit of God. Now, this particular visit was not just a visit like all the other visits. This was a very explicit visit to fulfill a promise. God had promised something to Abraham and Sarah, and now he's visiting to make sure that this promise actually happens. A way to understand this message, how does God fulfill his promises? More importantly, how do you make sure you don't miss it? Jesus warned the people in the New Testament to not miss the day of God's visitation. And sometimes the reason why we miss it is because we are either too busy, too distracted, too many things are going on, that rather than being able to be sensitive to God's ways, timing, God's promises that he wants to fulfill in our lives. Now notice that the first thing that happens here is that it says God had said. If you want to know how God fulfills his promise, if you want to make sure you're in step with the fulfilling that promise, know for certain that that promise will come from his word. If you're expecting, if you're believing God to have three wives, that's not going to happen. Amen? It might not happen, but it's certainly not God's promises because it's not his word. When God fulfills a promise, it's because it is word. When he says, I will cause all things to work together for the good of them that love me and those that I've called according to my purposes, he will make all things work together for your good. From the smallest things, one of the things that I've learned over the years. I was having a chat with a 19-year-old man. We were talking about life, and when he found out that I was 62 years old, I've told him that one of the things I've learned in life is not linear. It's not always A, B, C, D, E, F, G. There's a journey, and we can find that in the life of Abraham and Sarah, where there's a pattern, and the pattern is not a linear 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, but the pattern is God's word. What I've seen that have been good for my life has always been the basis in those promises that came from his word. He promised me that he will love me forever. That has been so much of a blessing for me. I cannot even imagine living life without that knowledge. I cannot imagine living life without that understanding that God cares for me. Secondly, my wife, my children. Can't imagine having not that in as an understanding that that is one of the most precious things in my life. My health and the finances that he provides for me. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says, the word of God is living. It's not an ancient word. It is an old in the sense that it's forever. It started from the beginning, but it's not old in the sense that it's still living. It's alive. The word of God is living. When he says something to you, I remember years ago, I've got phone calls, and they weren't death threats, but they were threats against my children. And during those days, in the days when Manila was rough and tumble, and I would get these phone calls, and they would say that, you know, we know where your children go to school, and you just better watch out, and all of these things. And it was scary. And I remember that I would get these phone calls every now and then, and sometimes I wouldn't even want to answer the phone. I'd get my secretary to answer it because I wasn't sure if this was the same person. But it led me to Psalm 91. He who dwells under the shelter of the Most High will rest under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, the God in whom I trust. I learned to meditate on the Word. Surely He will deliver me from the fowler snare. I'm not the type of guy that memorizes things. I was never good at school, amen? But I learned to memorize because I saw that His promises were true. He will keep me from the fowler snare and from the deadly pestilence. Under His shadows, it was just amazing how this word just became real to me. Yeah. And as I meditated on that word and I believed that promise, you know what happened? I never heard from the guy again. I don't know what exactly happened. God may have struck him with lightning, amen? And I don't really want to know. I just want to be sure that I am believing God's living word. God's word is not just living, it's active. It's doing something in you. It's doing something in others. It's changing you on the inside. There's something that happens to you. And then I don't care how long you've been with God. There's still issues in me that God's dealing with. And you know it's happening because His word is active. His word is not just active. It's sharp. Everybody say sharp. Thank God it is. How many of you know you don't want a dull knife operating on you? You want a sharp knife. You want something that's pinpoint, something that won't, that has to stab you and crack your skin. It's something that just glides through you and removes things, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of soul and spirit, to the joints and marrow, the moral and the spiritual and the emotional and the physical. If you're real about this and not just religious, there's something about the Word of God and His promises that changes you on the inside. Gives you the discernment of the thoughts and the realities of your intents and the motivations, the secret things that you and God alone know about, that you've learned to rationalize. And folks, I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching to me. Issues in our hearts that are not godly, and that's preventing us from receiving His promise. My wife and I were in Jakarta, Indonesia, to a commitment to do a marriage seminar for our church there. And during the seminar, there's Pastor John there translating for us. This is our Every Nation Church in Jakarta, Indonesia. If you ever find yourself, some of you may not be aware of this, Every Nation has churches we have 600 churches all over the world. And during this seminar, I was standing there and I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to expose something in my life to help some of these people. And I started talking about an issue of unforgiveness that happened to me when I was a teenager. And I've never shared this in a marriage seminar. And I told them about how somebody did something to me as a teenager. And growing up all the way to the time I became a pastor, and I'm in my 40s, it's a little over 20 years ago. And I still couldn't forgive this person. There was something inside me that I actually enjoyed the idea of holding to that unforgiveness. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Those of you who have unforgiveness. Don't raise your hand now. But you kind of like it because it's a weapon. You know, you kind of like it because it's an excuse why you can feel bad. And it became a habit for me. And it took the Word of God to change me. I remember the day so brilliantly where Jesus just showed me. That day He was hanging on the cross and with all the pain and all the wounds and all the scars and all the shame, He was naked. And He said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they're doing. And right there, the Word of God, this piercing Word of God, got me in the inside me and said, the pain that Jesus experienced physically is nothing compared to the pain you hold when you don't forgive. And it stays with you. It's like this idea of drinking poison. You think the other guy is dying. It's actually you you're killing. That was the day I knelt beside my bed and I forgave this man. I remember it very clearly because it was so vivid. It was a turning point in my life. It was actually, sometimes we look for the promises of God. We always think it's a car, it's a house, it's no. You know what? Some of it's God's just going to teach you how to have a good soul. Because the worst thing you can have is to have a lot of money but a dirty soul. God's promises are not just what you think they are. They happen because they're God's word. And the Bible says in verse 2, she conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, the time of which God had spoken to him. Now notice where this idea of God speaks, God spoken, God says, God's word. But more than just God's word, it says she conceived. Because his word comes with his way. God's word is not just arbitrary. You know, God's word means he has a way of doing things. In this particular instance, we find that that way is through the way of conception. And by the way, when Bible uses these inferences or these examples, the point of this is what you see in the natural is something you can learn from for something that applies to the spiritual. And that's what conception is. That's what pregnancy is, isn't it? When you hear God's promise, when God gives you a word, it doesn't mean it's going to happen overnight. It's kind of like having a pregnancy. Thank God men don't have pregnancies, amen? I don't think we're going to last an hour. What does the pregnancy look like? One, we feel, but we don't see. And sometimes with God's promises, that's the way it is. You feel it. You feel like something's about to happen. Something's good's going to happen. The future is bright, but you don't see. And that's why you need to have faith. Yep. You feel it. You feel this thing kicking you. You feel this thing doing things to you. You feel the dream is about to happen, but you don't see it. Secondly, we expect, but we have to wait. We're expectant, but, and this is, how many of you have a problem with waiting? Some of you can't even giggle, it's so real, amen? Before time became what it is today, some of you don't know this, before time happened, it wasn't the way you and I understand. I've stopped wearing wristwatches because I already have too much time in my pocket. I have all the time of the world already. There was what is called the knocker back in the 1920s. The knockers were people who were paid to become physical alarm clocks. This is true. You can Google this. You'll see dozens of these people. This was in the day when clocks were not very reliable and clocks were not universal. In other words, if you were in Indiana and you were in New York and you were in San Francisco, you had three different time zones. Nobody really knew what time it was. Technology wasn't quite there yet. It took 1967 for all these smart guys, not one of us, right? These really smart guys to gather together and determine how to fix time universally. But prior to that, time didn't work that way. There were knockers. They were paid to knock on your window to wake you up so you won't be late. And you Google it. There's pictures of these guys everywhere. The way you and I understand time, being modern citizens of this world, is not the way time has always been, which is why we always think that God is late and that the promises of God are delayed, when the reality is they're not. You're just not used to his time. We're not used to his timing. Why does God make you wait? Why does God do that? Why can't you just give me a baby and then next week I'll have the baby already? Why do I have to wait 9 months and go through this time when I have to feel like I'm puking, this time when this child is kicking me? Why does he do that? One reason is because it's good for us. It's good for you to wait. It's good for you to be patient. Everybody say patient. Look at the person beside you. Does he or she look patient? You ever been to a dental clinic and I confess, right? I mean, I'm walking into the airport and I see the line, oh my goodness, this is, you know what I'm saying? You guys can relate, right? The minute you see a line, you're depressed. Now, the good news is I'm a senior citizen, amen? So I bypass the line. The bad news is some people who are trying to look like they're senior citizens and you want to scold them. We don't want to wait because it requires patience. But you know why God wants you to wait? Because patience is love. Love is patient. And for the rest of your life and my life, it will have to be like that. It's Him sinking us to Him. Because His timetable is not ours. His timetable is eternal. His timetable is not even about just you. It's about Isaac and so many others. I was thinking about how to illustrate this, and I found this. It says in 2018, last year, this guy says, hey, son, I found a picture of your grandpa. So this is the picture of the grandpa. So he's showing this. This is 2018, so he sees his grandpa in the 1940s, and he shows his son. And this meme is projecting that in 2060, this father found this, hey, son, I found a picture of your grandpa, and this is the picture, amen? Two different characters. Because what you're enjoying right now, when you project this 60 years from now, it's going to be a comedy act. What you think is cute right now is not building your character, not developing your patience. It's not good for you. You think it is, but it's actually not good for you. It's actually bad for you. Because we think it's the now, and I'm told this, I want myself in the world. And 50 years later, that's the clown you look like. Because you never understood God's timing. His timetable is not ours. Most of all, for you to know that He's in control. Control is a myth. If you haven't figured that out yet, get old, amen? When you get to a certain age, you just realize control's a myth. There's things I can't control anymore. You know, I've been trying to wear this T-shirt and trying to look like I'm not an uncle. Every time I try to pretend like, when I walk to that bathroom, that guy always say, hey, uncle, good morning. You just can't control life. I mean, it's just... No, seriously, the reason why I wear a T-shirt is because I've vowed never to buy shirts again. I mean, it's just too much to think about. But to know that He's in control, I remember a story of a little girl who was, her name was Joyce Steinhardt. She was 10 years old. She was a part of a show in Australia called Happy Go Round. And at 10 years old, she was a rising star, and then all of a sudden, her parents at 13 years old divorced. And the pressure of the divorce and being a celebrity was just going to kill her, destroying her. Thankfully, at 15 years old, she became a Christian. Her father brought her to church, see the Lord, and thus she became a singer for McDonald's, for KFC, for Coca-Cola. And looks like life was just going to be like that. In church, he met a man named Mark, and they got married. And as God would have it, at the right moment, she writes a song. And that song would be sung by literally millions and millions of people all over the world, Christians. That girl was Darlene Joyce Check. In the fullness of time, God wants you to know you're not in control. God wants you to know that He will fulfill His promises in you the way He intended it to be at His proper time. I met Mark and Darlene many years ago. I had an opportunity to be with them in their home in the Central Coast. I remember being there for her birthday party. There were zero heirs. There were zero celebrities. In fact, there were like eight of us. There was not this idea of I'm this multi-awarded songwriter, wealthy girl, zero. In fact, it was all about children and grandchildren. The conversation revolved around that, not about how many songs and how many nominations. You know why? Because she knows who's in control. Because she knows. In fact, the year after that, she had cancer, and she also knew who was. That's the problem, you see. The problem is when you think you're in control, when all the good times are happening, and then the bad times hit, you better make sure you know who's in control. But there's another reason, or another thought I want to lay in you, is how do you wait on God? This is my own way of doing it. I keep counting my blessings. Flight last night was running late. It wasn't a very smooth flight. And when I'm trying to wait, I start counting my blessings. I start remembering the journeys that God has had for me. That's how you wait for God. That's how you wait. You try to remember, okay, if God did that for me then, he's going to do it again and again and again. Number two is don't lean on your own understanding. Your understanding, my understanding, is so limited. I mean, if we, our arrogance as technologically advanced human beings, think we're in control and we think we're that smart, the reality is it is a vapor, folks. Our understanding of life is so limited. We so need God so much. And finally, know that the best is yet to come. There are still great things that God's about to do. His promises will be fulfilled. Wait with expectancy for the unexpected, I would say. I always wait for expect. When I'm down and out and I'm tired and I'm impatient, I'm waiting. God, you're going to do something again. And most of the time, it's something that I don't expect. Let me close. His word is way. We feel what we don't see. We expect what we don't have, but we dream with discomfort. Waiting on God and waiting for God's promises is like being pregnant. They're dreams, but it's never comfortable. They're dreams, but there's morning sickness. There's dreams, but there's this other thing that's eating on you. It's almost like, when is this ever going to get born? And by the way, here's the funny thing about God's promises. They do get born, and when they're born, you've only just begun. The real work begins. As I close, verse 5, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. Think about that. That is a wonder, isn't it? You hear a man, he just had a child who was 100 years old. That's a wonder in its way. His word, his way, his wonder. God wants you wondering. God wants you believing he's wonderful. God wants you not resting on the old past and just his way and his word. He wants you wondering. God has something great, bigger than I could ever ask or imagine. But you know what was even bigger in wonder was not that Abraham had a child at 100. It was Sarah. Because she was the problem. See, Abraham could have children. He had a son in Ishmael. It was her. And then she said, God has made laughter for me, for everyone who hears will laugh over me. In other words, it is a wonder. So wonderful, in fact, that I had no choice but to just laugh about it. Don't you just want to live that way? I want to live that way. I don't want to be stressed. I want to live laughing. Amen? And she said, who would have said to Abraham and Sarah would nurse a children? Yet I have borne him a son in my old age. What a wonder God is. I was in Manila and had a moment. I wanted to have lunch with this man on beside me. His name is Paolo Ponsalan. He's the gentleman who took over the church I was pastoring. And I just wanted to catch up with him and hear from him. And because these men are younger than I am, I wanted to know what's out there, what's new. And as I was picking him up from his office, these two other men jumped behind the car and said, can we join you? Can we join you? I said, sure. And I sat there and I had lunch with them. And I knew this man. Some of these men I've known for more than 20 years. I knew them when they were single students. not married. It's a wonder. Pastor Paulo now pastors one of the largest churches I know of in the world. And how he serves God. And I watch his marriage and his children. It's a wonder. Then this man, Ariel Marquez, who pastors the Every Nation Church in the Labang. And it's a wonder. He and I were, he was my employee. He was in my accounting department when he was starting out and when I was still a businessman. It's a wonder to see his journey. I remember the day, his son passed away. Young boy, and I was wondering how his future was going to look like. And just sitting there with him and I'm thinking, wow, how wonderful is God. This gentleman is Gilbert, who's now the director of Every Nation Philippines. He's the big boss. I remember the day I was in his church in Los Baños, Laguna, and I just preached for him. He just invited me, and I was driving home. And I felt like the Lord said, he's got to move to Manila. I called up Pastor Steve. I said, Steve, I know exactly who should move to Manila and take over the church at the U-Belt. And Steve and I were like rejoicing over the phone that day. God is so wonderful. His plans, your plans, things that you don't see, things that you see, things that he's about to do, things he's about to pour out in your life and bless you with. His promises are real. And he wants to visit you. That visit begins with his word. That word comes with a way. The way of conception, the way of waiting, the way of trusting. And that promise is always going to be a wonder. Don't settle for the quick and the easy. Oh, I want that right now. No. Don't. In fact, if you want to test God, tell him, God, I know there's something better than this. I'm going to wait. Amen? Stand on your feet as we close in the word of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Could you just lift up both your hands towards heaven? Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your people. Can you look up here for a minute? If I may be a little bit vulnerable to you, I've got dreams. And if anyone knows me well, my wife knows me so well, I'm probably one of the most impatient people in the world. I am. But I learned through his word. And I've learned to walk in step. And it didn't happen overnight. It happened through many years. I just told you about my unforgiveness. Last thing you want to do is to pray pretense with God. The best thing you can do is to trust him in his word. To look to him. To walk with him. Amen? Close your eyes. Lift up your hands towards heaven. God, seal this truth in each of our hearts. You are a promise-keeping God. The God who will visit us in your own good time with your word, with your way, that will leave us wondering about you. We worship you, God. We thank you, Father. We give you praise, Jesus, the visitor who stayed. The visitor who came and stayed in our hearts for all of eternity. To you be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.